Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at Revelation 5, verses 1 to 14. This is the epistle lesson for the third Sunday of Easter, the season in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were singing, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshipped." We are sometimes blessed to see visions of grandeur here on earth. No doubt you can think of moments you were so caught up you could scarcely breathe. Perhaps a view of nature like the Great Valleys in Wales or Mount Snowdon. For some it might be the view of a beautiful building, inside or out. Music too, such as Handel's Messiah, might catch us unaware and sweep us off our feet with its majesty in orchestral movement and chorus. We might think we're in heaven itself, at least for a moment, before we're carried back to our ordinary place in life and are sitting at the desk or standing in a queue for a pint of milk at your local co-op. Majesty is what we see today as we read from the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John. In this vision, we are caught up with John into heaven. We see what he sees, and he sees God at the center and the Lamb and the Spirit of God in power. He sees the elders around the throne falling down in worship to the Lamb. He sees the thousand upon thousands of angels singing their song, their strong anthem of praise. He sees all of heaven and earth giving worship to the Lamb and to our God. It's another vision that would have our hairs standing straight, viewing the majesty of our Lord in heaven. But as awesome as the vision is, the message in and around this vision is not about God's power and might and the adoration and praise that properly belong to him. The message is what God has done and what he promises always to do for you and for me. You see, the vision of the Lord is majestic, but the message is transforming. Let's visit the scene and see what we might have missed. The action focuses on God. And so in his hand is a large book or scroll sealed with seven seals, the contents of which are yet a mystery. This book is bursting with information, almost screaming for release. Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? A strong voice sounds. Nothing in all of heaven or earth is able to open it, not even the strong angel. At this point, not understanding yet that this was quite the rhetorical question, John starts to weep, and so is then consoled by an elder, who does in the end reveal to John who is able to open the scroll. And notice the rich imagery here and what it must mean. The Lion of Judah, which refers to the root of Jesse or the root of David. In other words, the King of Kings. He is worthy to open the scroll. But when John looks upon the one called a mighty lion, what does he see? A lamb. A lamb looking as if it had been slain. What is this but an image of Christ crucified, even after he had risen from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God? Because the importance of the one who is risen from the dead for us and for our salvation is the fact that he is the one who was slain. This is the image that God always wants us to have in front of us. There's no confusion. He's risen from the dead. But he is the one who was slain for our sin. That is the image John is receiving. Yet even in this image, the Lamb is seen as strong and victorious. As the Lamb stands before the throne of God, the praise commences from the elders gathered around the throne, from the angels, from all heaven and all earth. Yes, this image is but a figurative one, but the figure is of a slain Jesus. And it tells us of the true message of our salvation. The image is that Jesus dying for us on the cross isn't a message of weakness. It is the ultimate message of courage, strength, and victory. His being slain as the Lamb of God is our victory. The gospel is all about Jesus' death for you and me. Perhaps you already picked this up at the appearance of the Lamb. I know you won't forget it now. And perhaps your mind went back to the River Jordan as John the Baptist spoke these words of Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. So even before Jesus died, he was seen as the one who was to die, even as he lived. It reminds me of those Christmas cards, actually, where quite profoundly there is an image of a manger, but the manger is empty. Instead of a baby, there lies a crown of thorns and three large nails. Why? Because that's why he came. Jesus was born in order to die for us. Again, as we read about the Lamb who looked as if it had been slain, perhaps you thought about the old temple sacrifices and how for the atonement for sin, these sacrifices had to take place. And one of the more primary animals used was an unblemished lamb, a tradition expanded from the very first lamb sacrificed for the salvation of Israel, as it had to be put to death and its blood painted across the doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over them and not kill them. That lamb was in effect killed instead of the firstborn of every Israelite household. And lest we forget, in contrast to those who had killed a lamb, those who ignored the will of God and did not trust in his word, the Egyptians, all of their firstborn were killed. With no faith in God, there was only sickness and death. Jesus is called the Lamb because only in relation to his death would the salvation of his people be obtained. Only by his atonement for sin could mankind be saved. So perhaps when you heard this text on how the Lamb, who looked as if he was slain, was sitting on the throne, it might just have crossed your mind how Jesus went to Calvary to be the slain Lamb for you on the cross. You may just have remembered that this is the same Jesus who could not be contained within the grave. The Holy One of God, who brings life, can never be contained in death. And if you believe that Jesus is the Holy One of God, then you believe that he must have risen from the dead. And so there's absolutely no sense in any narrative of Scripture that there is a question to be raised. Is he going to rise? He must rise, for he is the Holy One of God. But what's more important is that he was willing to die in the first place to atone for your and my sin, to be the Lamb. This is the one who stands before the throne of God. And he also has some fantastic figurative features to him. If we had a picture of this somewhere in the church, it would be great because its imagery is so rich, and as long as we understand what it means, that's the important thing. So have a look at this with me now. The Lamb of God has 7 horns and 7 eyes. But again, as bizarre as that lamb would look, understand what it symbolized. The horns symbolize strength, and there are 7 of them. 7 means perfect. What this image is literally saying is that even at the time of his being slain for us, Jesus had perfect strength to endure it. The eyes symbolize knowledge and wisdom. Again, there are 7 of them. This figure literally symbolizes the fact that even at his death, Jesus had perfect wisdom and understanding of what he was doing for mankind. At the end, he uttered, "It is now finished." He didn't need to wait for the resurrection of the dead for this either. It was right there and then, at his dying, where the full atonement for sin was completed. In his death, Jesus was victorious. And so this is the spirit that goes out to all the churches. You are listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is for the Lion of Judah to be seen as a slain lamb. Why that image? Why still an image of death if we are to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord? Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
Find comfort and joy in Songs of Hope.
Read and explore the scriptures with me every Thursday here on Lutheran Radio UK.
Songs of Hope, weekly reflections on the Psalms with Denise Seaman. Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program, because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how important it is to still see the Lion of Judah as the Lamb of God. Why? Because of what Christ as the Lamb accomplished, the salvation of the world. In short, Jesus was as a lamb led to the slaughter. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, please do send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. Please note again that the Lamb of God keeps the marks of his death. Why? Why should he keep such marks if he is exalted? Why doesn't God just let that image of him being slain disappear, seeing as he is risen from the dead? That's what we ask in our churches today, is it not? Especially in our Protestant churches and traditions. Why keep such an image of Christ in essence suffering or having suffered before our eyes? Well, quite simply, that's how Scripture still portrays him, even today, as the one who was slain for the sins of the world, as the Lamb of God. It's not that he was the Lamb of God. That's who he is. That is his title. What he has done for us. That is his victory over sin, his dying. The resurrection is not part and parcel of his victory over sin. Jesus, again, did not wait until he had risen from the dead to say, "It is finished." He said it from the cross, before drawing his last breath. The resurrection was not necessary for the atonement of mankind. the resurrection necessarily happened because Jesus is God, don't get me wrong, but not for the sins of mankind. The lambs that were slaughtered in the temple did not rise from the dead. They simply died, atoning for the sin of man, foreshadowing Christ's death as the Lamb of God. The victory over sin, death, and the grave was not Christ's resurrection. The victory over sin, death, and the grave was Christ's death. Why? Because Christ's death was no victory over his own sin. Christ's death was victory over your and my sin. He died the death that you and I still deserve to die. As surely as good works do not add to our salvation, but necessarily follow our salvation, the resurrection of the dead, of course, necessarily follows Christ's death, but it does not add to the message of the gospel, but necessarily follows it. Again, please don't mistake me. If you have a question about this, send it in. It's mind-blowing, I know. And of course, we absolutely believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. But in terms of our salvation, it is the image of the Lamb of God who was slain for the sin of the whole world that is most important, which is absolutely necessary for us to grasp and ever keep before our eyes, which, after all, was the only thing the thief on the cross had to behold. We as evangelical Lutheran Christians can never emphasize enough Jesus' death. And I want to point out also that by doing so, we're never understating his resurrection. We speak only of the living Lamb who had been slain so that sin could be dealt with. Notice how that was the whole emphasis with the Lenten hymns that we sang coming up to Easter. And note in our text, it still is the emphasis of the hymn being sung by all of the heavenly hosts in the vision of John, which is a glimpse of the last day of the heavens and the earth. And it's what This Is the Feast, our hymn of praise, emphasizes from the Lutheran service book and divine setting, service 1, whose blood set us free to be people of God. So it's not his resurrection which sets us free. No, that was necessary, but no, rather it is his blood that sets us free. The glory, the beauty and majesty, even at this very moment of congregating together, is all about the message of the gospel for you and me, that we have hope in this world and always because of the cross of Jesus, which only ever means one thing: he died for our sins. Most people are aware of Handel's musical production, Messiah. Who hasn't heard the fabulous Hallelujah chorus? You may have even heard it done by a flash mob on YouTube. That alone has had several million hits. What you may not know is that Handel was actually quite a difficult man. He was proud for much of his life, and it was due to desperately wanting to do an oratorio in England that Handel agreed to compose Messiah. And so with every ounce of his being, he put to paper this masterpiece. He was able to compose his music to a whole string of scriptural prophecies which a friend had pieced together for him, and of course these prophecies proclaimed wonderfully the whole purpose of Christ. And Handel worked feverishly on his majestic choruses, caught up in the magnitude of the message, and interestingly it's been said of this piece that many think of the preceding moments of Christ's birth when listening to it, but as a matter of fact, it is meant to highlight the glory of Jesus' suffering, his death, and resurrection. But again, even when we're talking of Jesus' resurrection and how he's alive again, we can't help but look back at what he's done and still describe everything in the light of who he is in what he's done for us in the cross. Take, for example, the Song of Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. What Handel was doing was exclaiming this narrow truth of Scripture. Every message, the fact that Christ is now the first fruits of all who are asleep, the fact that mortality must put on immortality, that death has lost its sting and the grave has lost its victory, and that the risen Christ makes intercession for us still, all point to the fact that he was the one who died for us. Handel worked so hard on this masterpiece that it was in this work, having been engrossed in the Word of God for so long, that he was transformed inside and out himself. After performing Messiah, Handel once said to a friend, I would like to die on Good Friday in the hope of rejoining my sweet Lord and Savior on the day of his resurrection. Now, why do you think Handel said that? Because it was the image of Jesus' death that was always before his eyes. The resurrection was certain. Without a doubt, we are all to rise one day from death. The question is, am I going to paradise because I believe in Jesus' death? Do I believe that Jesus really died for my sin? For that's the revelation that God wants us to see. Not just the power and majesty of heaven, but that Jesus, who is victorious and worthy of all, because he has done it all for you and for me. And even we can now be transformed through his means of grace, where he attaches the victory of his death to us, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, where his blood that he shed for us on the cross is still our lifeblood. As we drink him in, we consume him so that we might live, because evidently he is alive. And because he has cleansed us, because he has made us his own, because he has redeemed us, he now guides us in the way of truth with his very power and strength with which he conquered death, so that we might also bear with our suffering. By his death, we are changed, and so in the knowledge of his resurrection, we live for him, fed by his word, the revelation of God's love and power, his purpose and promise. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.